Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:30, and that is Pacific Standard Time. And today is December 22nd, and as my daughters call it, is the eve of Christmas Eve. And I have a sneaking suspicion this is going to be the last year in which we have a Santa Claus coming to our house. My kids are getting increasingly suspicious, so it's a really fun time of year. But something that certainly occurred to me today is that there is it was a very reasonably quiet day overall. There wasn't a great deal happening, but what did strike my attention was that the chart of US corporate profits, which has been on a pretty steady upward trajectory over the very long term and had lost momentum for much of the last few years, is testing the upper side of its range. Now, you will also see here in the upper right-hand corner that it was last updated at the end of September. It's a quarterly chart, so we won't get another move in this chart until the end of the year, so it won't be updated until at least January. And corporate profits are, of course, an important factor, because we have had substantial breakouts on a whole number of markets. There has certainly been a pause for the vast majority of Wall Street's indices over the last few days. And considering just how quickly they had advanced following the election in early November, then we obviously have had a very clear breakout, and a range is an explosion waiting to happen. And because we are, because expectations tend to deteriorate within a range, we become used to the rather inert trading environment, and then the upside surprise is. By its very nature, it is because the way that overbought and oversold readings are calculated, they are calculated on the most recent trading activity, which will have been reasonably inert inside the range. So when you get a breakout, they almost immediately go overbought. It's the world of difference between a market that has been trending higher for a long period of time and then accelerates, versus something that has been going sideways for a long time and then accelerates up out of the range. The first is a trend ending. The second is perhaps better described as a trend beginning or a trend reassertion. And that is what we've had on Wall Street. Of course, if stocks are only rallying without any real expectation of earnings improving, then we're going to have valuation expansion. And that's why profit margins are going to be so important, because we had a massive move in corporate profits following the problem in 2008. But corporate profits have stopped going higher, and that has led to some margin expansion over the last few years. And is there now the potential that we could break on the upside if we do indeed get the cut to corporate tax rates, the deregulation of the banking sector, and the fiscal stimulus that has been so widely expected? That could indeed be really very bullish for stocks overall, but perhaps more importantly, it could be transformative overall for corporate profits, particularly for US corporate profits. What really struck me today, though, is looking at the chart of corporate profits, how closely it resembles the chart for margin debt. We can see now, obviously, this is more spiky, because in a bubble overall, then you do get this thing accelerating higher, but it has lost momentum, and I'm going to be very interested. Now, this is, you can see that it was last updated at the end of October, and it is also testing its high. It has also lost momentum over the last few years. And will margin debt accelerate higher if we get corporate profits accelerating higher? Will this now, when, and this is updated with a, if it's updated with a 1 month lag, and it is only updated at the end of every second month, so it isn't going to be updated until the end of this year, and that will be reflective of what happened in November. So that is going to give us a very strong indication of what margin balances are doing when we come to think about how people are positioning themselves in the stock market. And the fact that corporate profits and margin trading, or the balances in margin accounts, has got such a strong correlation, probably has a lot to do, well, is a reflection overall of how people are viewing this move in the stock market. So you can obviously see that the if we just remember where those peaks were, then we have had a pretty impressive breakout on the S&P 500, that this market had gone pretty much nowhere from early 2015. In fact, that it the lower side of that range could go all the way back to the middle of October 2014. That this was a breakout in July. It came back to test the upper side of the underlying range, and now it has broken upwards. And it is certainly not that strange that you get a breakout and then you get a consolidation just right above it. That it is a clear example of past resistance becoming future support. And now we have had a pretty impressive run. The S&P 500 as a big large cap index has obviously not done as well as some of the smaller cap or less liquid indices overall, but this is a reassertion. And when we look at the long-term chart, then we get a pretty interesting observation overall. It really does help to highlight that this was a very lengthy range between that started in 2000, that the previous secular bull market that really got going in 1982 was pretty spiky. That it had very impressive moves, but then it had some pretty big pullbacks as well. And a 1987 crash was one example of that. It was a crash for, but a it would be perhaps the modern equivalent of a flash crash, considering that perhaps the market was not moving quite as quickly back then, and the we have become inured to these kinds of declines, because the kind of decline that we had, we have had more than one or two of those over the last few years. It's just that they haven't been sustained, and they haven't had an impact on the wider market. But there are plenty of shares that have had pullbacks similar to the 1987 crash, but they've happened intraday as a result of flash crashes and of malfunctions in ETF pricing. There is an increasing, and it is it was a new story, and it is and I've quoted part of a report in the commentary today, which discusses the role of passive investing. And because we have such very low interest rates, and because the because of quantitative easing and extraordinary monetary policy more generally, more, stocks have got this very high degree of commonality overall, and they've tended to rally and fall in unison. And of course, that plays very, that is perhaps part of the reason for the growth of the ETF industry, and then of course it is also influenced by the growth of the ETF industry. And when we think about financial innovations overall, then it's hard to really look back over all of the financial innovations that there have been and find one that hasn't caused a crash at some stage. I think it isn't a particularly prescient prediction to think that whenever we eventually do have the next problem, that that ETFs and passive investing overall is going to have an impact. When we look at the S&P 500, though, on this long-term chart, we have had a clear breakout, and we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside as long as the progression of high reaction lows is intact. And right now, we can zoom in for a little bit of additional insight. Then the most recent higher reaction low is in the region of 2100, which also coincides with the region of the 200-day moving average. When we are also seeing that regional banks are doing better, that they have had a very impressive breakout overall, then that is something that is really worth considering, that we haven't had this kind of outperformance by the banking sector in a very long time. And it is the sector that is one of the greatest beneficiaries of the changes that are happening. When we look at Europe, we have had, it was another reasonably quiet day, but in mildly positive territory, and this continues to represent a breakout overall. When we look at Japan, then the number of shares that are doing exactly what this is doing, I've posted the chart of Canon in today's commentary, and it is also rallying and has broken the progression of lower rally highs, and of course that is contingent on the yen continuing to weaken. But as we approach the end of the year, we can also see that there are a large number of short-term overbought conditions, and there is certainly there will be at least some tendency among traders to take some profits and to hit the ground running with something new in 2017. I've been watching Nvidia very closely, and it is the share that has done so incredibly well this year. And they continue to release new chips, and it is still a company that is highly leveraged to the growth of virtual reality and increasingly to autonomous vehicles. And this is a very impressive reassertion of the overall uptrend, but it is certainly accelerating higher. And we know what it will look like when it eventually ends. The strongest thing in the world could turn into the weakest in a matter of days. This is certainly an environment where a trailing stop would be, I think, probably quite advisable. And if we are looking at things that have done spectacularly well, then it is also behooves us to look at things that have not. And the precious metals have not done well. They have been trending lower for nearly 2 months, and in a dynamic fashion for 2 months. Really, when you look at silver, it has been going down since July. These are very violent pullbacks when they occur, and there is no clear evidence yet that support has been found. What the new year brings, well, we can also see that what happened last year, that it was really in just the first few weeks of the year that we started to see precious metals turning around. They are going to need some form of catalyst, and there isn't any great deal of evidence just yet that the dollar index has stopped going up. In fact, it continues to look like a pretty impressive breakout from a very well-defined trading range, and as long as that remains the case, we'd have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. When we look at that very long-term chart, then we're about halfway up to where the peak for the dollar was in the early 2000s. It is worth remembering that back in the 2000s, everything seemed to be, and sorry, in the late 90s and the very early 2000s, everything seemed to be going well for the dollar. The USA was not only the biggest, but it was one of the fastest growing economies in the world, and not least because of the internet bubble. And it was sucking money in from all over the world, and that was helping to support the dollar as one of the strongest currencies in the world. So international investors were getting capital market and currency market appreciation. And that is what we're getting now, that international investors have the potential to get a capital market and currency market appreciation, as well as the potential for a competitive yield if interest rates continue to rise. And that is really quite bullish over the medium term for Wall Street. And of course, it is most particularly bullish for those shares that are not overly leveraged to their earnings from the rest of the world. It is perhaps more domestic-oriented plays, which is another reason why the banking sector has tended to really just explode higher following the presidential election. And when we look at government bonds, this has been a very sharp move over the last 6 weeks, and it is still consistent on the upside. Yields are still holding this progression of higher reaction lows, and despite the fact that we are trading in the region of 2.5%, there is no great deal of evidence yet that this is anything other than just another one of these very short consolidations. Certainly, somebody will be thinking that there must be some bargain hunting coming in bonds, that 2.5% is a higher yield than we've seen in quite some time. But that view will, of course, be tempered by the potential for interest rates to rise. Every other time we've seen a pop up in yields over the last decade, then it has petered out because there was no prospect of interest rates rising. And we are in a quite a different environment overall. One of the things that I'm wondering about is that one it's something that has been the strategy that has been most effective over the last few years has been to assume that interest rates would not rise and then to get highly leveraged because leverage was both cheap and available, and that with no prospect of interest rates rising, then you could really deploy that leverage just about anywhere. And that has worked particularly well for algorithmic systems. And there is, of course, the additional way of thinking about it is that when you want to size your position, then how do you size your positions? And you have to look at volatility. And volatility in interest rates isn't something that we've had for a long time. So, and volatility because stocks are going up is also very low. That has not put pressure on leverage traders. But of course, the rise in yields has put a lot of pressure on leveraged fixed income traders. There's quite a bit of risk in terms of fixed income funds right now. And that also, money coming out of funds and into stocks, is another additional bullish factor. So we do have a short-term overbought condition. We are approaching the last week of the year, and generally speaking, we do get a little bit of volatility in those quiet periods when the market is illiquid and people have got tax considerations. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if we get a little bit of a wobble in the few days that are the stock market is open next week. When we think about what is likely to happen next year, then that wobble is probably, if it occurs, is likely to be a buying opportunity. There is a lot happening, and a lot of it is very much in favor of the world's largest market, and the Wall Street leash effect should help. And most particularly, if economic growth picks up, then US spending will increase, and that's good for just about everywhere else. So I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.